KALW.
I'll say I'm excited about relaxing and going shopping at Home Depot. And that's what I'll say. The reality is I'm terrible at relaxing. So really, I'm leaving Oasis. I'm still doing everything else.
A legendary San Francisco drag queen reflects on her ownership role at a nightclub.
If you'd told me 10 years ago that I would own a nightclub, I thought I would have said you were crazy. So who knows what the future holds for me.
And have you ever wondered why there's not a single billboard on most of Highway 280?
Visitors from all over the world come to San Mateo. They'll fly to San Francisco Airport, come up to 280, and they wonder, why is all this land still so beautiful?
Let's find out, shall we? I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Back in 2015, San Francisco drag queen Heclina purchased and became co-owner of Oasis. It's a nightclub located in the Soma District. She rebranded the performance venue into what it is today. It features drag performances, cabaret, and live music. Last November, however, she announced her departure from her ownership role and plans to end her weekly mother events. Heclina joined KALW's Hannah Baba to reflect on her time at Oasis and what is next.
So let's talk about Oasis.
Yes.
Go back to 2014 and the vision.
Okay. Darcy and Jeff, my two partners, they were looking for a space to open a club, and we looked at everything, and I was kind of along for the ride. I got the sense that they could not do it without me because I had a name, you know. I also had some money, and truth be told, I did want my own venue. I'd gotten a bit tired of performing at other people's venues, and when we did open Oasis, we had a vision for how a performance space should look. There should be a dressing room with mirrors and a bathroom and, you know, well lit, and it should be joined directly to the stage, so you walk from the dressing room directly onto stage. That was our vision. I wasn't as gung-ho about doing it, but I was along for the ride, and I believed in it, and I still do.
And for folks who have not been there, how would you describe Oasis?
It is the foremost performance venue in San Francisco. It is a place where all of the traveling cabaret acts, you know, if they perform in San Diego or LA, they're going to come and perform in the same leg of that tour at Oasis. And by them, I mean the drag stars that are, you know, nationally recognized. And we do original programming, we do plays there, and we have nightclubs. And so it is a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fabulous nightclub, owned by two drag queens, you know. That is the face of it, and that really is what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about it with what? Like, what are you feeling right now as you remember and talk about Oasis?
Well, I mean, I'm going to miss it. I tell you what I'm not going to miss is the headache of running a business in San Francisco. I'm not going to miss that. What I am going to miss are the amazing people that I do work with. The performers that I bring in from other cities, the performers that live here in San Francisco. I was rehearsing for a performance a couple weeks ago with a bunch of people, and I was having so much fun with them. And I got a little bit misty-eyed, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm going to miss this. But I think absence will make the heart grow fonder. And, you know, I'll be doing much fewer events there. I'll have a lot more fun doing it. I think doing a weekly drag show for me, after so many years of doing Tranny Shack weekly, when I entered Tranny Shack, I was burnt out on that, like every week. And
iconic.
So, yes, but to start another weekly show, I made that commitment to my partners and to Oasis because I knew that it needed that on a Saturday night to bring in the revenue. But quickly, I found out I just didn't have it in me to do a weekly show. I'm not the young upstart that I was back then. I'm, you know.
Well, then Tranny Shack evolved into Mother.
Yes.
Which was happening the last time we talked.
Yes.
Just celebrated the show's fifth
Yes.
Anniversary. Mm-hmm. What is Mother for our audience and what's it meant to you?
Essentially, it's just a drag show with my sensibility, which is irreverent, which is about pop culture, which is about, you know, so themes. It's mm-hmm. about themes. And Mother became a night where, and it's also, now that RuPaul's Drag Race is a big thing, it's also a place where they would all come to perform when they were on tour. So it's been the mothership, the flagship drag show mm-hmm. of San Francisco. Mother became much more of a mainstream show because at Oasis, you need a lot more people for it to seem full. And it's a Saturday night, so you have to appeal to the mass audience mm-hmm. that are going to come out. Whereas at Tranny Shack at the Stud, I needed, you know, a couple hundred people for it to look busy. At Mother, I need 500 people for it to look, you know, so it's mm-hmm. that's a pressure. So I had to be like, what is going to appeal to the mass audiences that are going to come out? So I found that my things that inspire me no longer inspire people who go out to drag shows. Like I would rather do a tribute show to Susie Sue or Bjork or something, but that's not going to bring anybody in because all those mm-hmm. people, they're too old, they don't go out anymore. So I have to be like, okay, I have to do a tribute to Ariana Grande or something, you know, something that does not inspire me. Mm. But, you know, that is... And I feel like the references are lost on a lot of people now. Mm-hmm. If I reference something like Judy Garland or...
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. I was talking to somebody. I did a show last week, and we were talking about Stonewall. Mm-hmm. And I just said, hey, does anybody have any idea why the people were gathered at Stonewall that day? They were mourning the death of who? And it was complete silence.
Nothing?
Nothing. And I said, I'll give you a hint. She starred in The Wizard of Oz. And
they still didn't say?
Finally, somebody piped up. Judy Garland. I was like, yes.
So, all right. So there's a new show.
Uh-huh.
Pop-Tart.
Yes.
Tell us about Pop-Tart, how it came to be.
Well, when I announced that I was ending the show, Darcy decided that Saturday nights should continue as a drag night. And they came up with that name. It's Darcy's thing. And Darcy has said that in order for it to shift to Pop-Tart, it should be something totally different from Mother. And I totally respect that. How it's going to be different, I don't know. But essentially, it's a drag show. There's nothing different. We're not reinventing the wheel.
What do you think? You know, San Francisco is changing in very big ways. The homelessness, the, you know, skyrocketing rents. What's happening to the drag community as a result, do you think?
This is a really long discussion, but I feel like San Francisco for me has been kind of death by a thousand cuts, sort of a little bit. Like every week there's something that's chopped away at it. You know, that the magic for me that was here when I first moved here is being cut into a lot. And sometimes I'll be at Oasis like on a daytime party on a Sunday and go, oh, all these young kids, how great these young kids can be here and survive and party. And then I check in and I look at all the young kids and they're all like Genentech and Facebook and Twitter. You know, those are the only young kids who can survive here now. And mm-hmm. when I moved to San Francisco, I worked in a crappy, I worked at Tower Video for minimum wage. And I survived on microwave popcorn that I stole from the back of the video store. And I was able to go out nightclubbing and live that life, you know, and almost every drag queen I know who lives in San Francisco, who it's a hobby, they're all working tech jobs or they're living with their parents or, you know, or something like that, you know.
Okay. What are you excited about?
I'm excited.
What's next for Heclina?
I guess I'm excited for change. Mm-hmm. I'll say I'm excited about relaxing and going shopping at Home Depot, and that's what I'll say. The reality is I'm terrible at relaxing. So really, I'm leaving Oasis. I'm still doing everything else. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, you know, if you'd told me 10 years ago that I would own a nightclub, I thought I would have said you were crazy. So who knows what the future holds for me.
That's Heclina. She spoke with KALW's Hannah Baba. Heclina will host the final Mother this Saturday, February 8th at Oasis. This interview is produced with help from Porfirio Rangel. This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. Hey Area is where we find answers to questions you ask. Listener David Shayer wanted to know,
why is Highway 101 plastered with billboards when Highway 280, just a little bit west, doesn't have any billboards?
I hate billboards too, David. KALW's Christopher Agusa headed down the road to find out.
This is a tale of two highways. I'm here in Palo Alto to check out both of them with David, our passionate question asker.
Billboards just annoy me. I just think they're ugly.
Highways 101 and 280 both snake their way up the peninsula, but they couldn't be more different.
An ad for ClearBank on the right and another high-tech ad for CIOs.
101 is dense and industrial and chock full of billboards.
Now they're really starting to pile up.
Yeah, another cannabis ad.
But David's least favorite?
The worst are the electronic billboards that are bright at night and change what they're showing.
David decides he's had enough, and we switch over to 280. And suddenly, you can see trees.
And it's all beautiful and green.
To find out why these two freeways look so different, I talked with Lenny Roberts, who's a legislative advocate with an organization called Committee for Green Foothills. She's spent the last 50 years working to protect the Bay Area's open spaces. And she tells me that 280's beauty is the result of hard-won protections.
Well, 280 was designated as a scenic highway by the state of California after a lot of work in order to get it included. And billboards are not allowed on state scenic highways.
The California legislature passed the Scenic Highway Program into law in 1963. The state and counties worked together to prevent the development of anything that could make these routes look, well, less scenic.
Visitors from all over the world come to San Mateo. They'll fly to San Francisco Airport, come up to 280, and they wonder, why is all this land still so beautiful?
1,300 miles of scenic highway crisscross the state. Each stretch is marked by a sign emblazoned with a bright orange California poppy. But the scenic status isn't guaranteed forever. In 2016, the County of San Mateo put out a memo that hinted at studying locations for a few billboards along 280. That's when Lenny jumped into action.
I started asking questions and did not get a very satisfactory answer. Yes, they were going to consider 280.
She went to the press, which led to a flurry of news stories about the issue, and people freaked out. The county says it was a misunderstanding and that the memo was really referring to 101. But the backlash was loud and clear.
People would stop me in the grocery store and say, I saw you on TV. How dare they think about putting billboards on 280?
Having a scenic highway designation is one of the few clear lines of defense against billboards. Remember those electronic billboards that David hates so much? Well, since 2010, the number of those permitted by the state has nearly tripled. And for the first time ever, in 2013, a stretch of the I-10 near Palm Springs was officially removed from the Scenic Highway Program to allow for the construction of, you guessed it, a digital billboard.
We always need to stay vigilant and active to keep the protections we have and hopefully to gain more protections over time.
So I went back to David and shared everything I'd learned.
Do you think you'll be on the lookout for the poppy sign?
Now I can't ignore it. Now every time I see it, I'll know what it means.
On Highway 280, I'm Christopher Agusa for Cross Currents.
Thanks, Chris. Christopher Agusa is a fellow in KALW's Audio Academy. Go to kalw.org/heyarea for answers to more questions about the Bay Area from listeners like you. Tune into Cross Currents Monday at 5. We're launching a new series made by, about, and for high schoolers. And anybody else who wants to hear what's on their minds.
My teammates and I have been called out for wearing pants instead of skirts. We've been called out for being too aggressive. When I joined debate freshman year, I didn't know this stuff was going to happen.
The debut of KALW's original podcast, TBH. That's Monday at 5 on Cross Currents from KALW News. Now, let's take a listen to a local band. This is Steven Steinbrink from Oakland. He's performing at the Starline Social Club in his hometown this Saturday.
I've never seen you like that. Tension on the table and your knuckles on the floor. You've never seen me bend back. You've never seen me bend back.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Julia Linus-Goodman, True Quinn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Victor Tentz. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adel. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.